Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Food Fight, your source for fair, unbiased, and up-to-date views on food, fun, and, you know, I just can't do it. I'm not reading this. We're not going to be fair. We're not going to be unbiased. We're going to be completely biased. Everything is biased. Come on, a little honesty, people. Name one thing that's really totally unbiased. We're not going to be fair. We're going to give unfair restaurant reviews and biased opinions on local events. There. I said it. We're going to be passionate, opinionated, stubborn, conceited, and say what we want. And what we're going to say, you're going to want to hear. This is Food Fight, people, because we love food, and all's fair in love and war. Welcome to the show. Today on Food Fight, we'll be giving you some great food tips, insightful and inventive food ideas, where you can get a really great meal at a local restaurant that we've reviewed, and we have high standards. We've even been known to bash those outdoor places that have, you know, the tables with the one wobbly leg where you got to put the sugar packets and everything down there and you wiggle it and stabilize it and everything. That's points off. And we'll share the secrets for getting over those darn New Year's Eve hangovers for those of you who get them, and you know who you are. Go and get a pen. I'll wait. Go on, get one. We're going to tell you where the real party is on New Year's Eve, and we're going to give away tickets to it. We've got ideas for all those leftover stale open bottles of wine and champagne, so don't you touch that dial. Now, to kick off the show, I'd like to discuss a serious issue facing us today. Let's start off with the really serious issues, the ones that really matter, you know, the ones that are really important to us. What are the best sausages to be had in San Diego? For example, you're making sausages, and honestly, there's no good sausage restaurants, really. This is pointless. You're not going to get one in a restaurant. You're going to have to make it at home. Luckily, they're easy to make, and they're easy to find, and they're easy to buy. They're cheap to buy. Some of the good ones, you know, and don't bother with the rest, bratwurst. It's really, honestly, you know, you barbecue it, you think it's fine. It's really only good if you simmer it in beer.
Correct.
Really. And the alcohol cooks off. It's just the flavor that you want. And you're just going to put that on a nice basic roll with, you know, some gravy, some sauerkraut, a couple of light seasonings, things like that. How long would you say you simmer in beer? Maybe 15, 20 minutes?
15, 20 minutes till it starts
15,
floating.
20 minutes tops. And that's a good bratwurst. You can get those anywhere. Knackwurst, you see them in the store. They don't look very appetizing. You know, they look like a segment of intestine. They're bland. They're uninteresting. Skip them. Just skip them. Grass-fed beef hot dogs. You recently had those. You were all excited.
That's a waste of great meat.
Giant waste of great meat. Exactly. Skip it. You know, nitrates are tasty. And artificial castings can be good. I mean, they have their place. Blood sausage. Let's get this over with. Blah, right? But some people love it. Some people eat it. They love it because they grew up on it. You know, it's like me liking black licorice. I know it's bad. I like it because it's bad, but people like blood sausage. They're just all, oh, you know, it's delicious. It's not. They know it's not. You know, if you are a fan of blood sausage, go and get this in Finland.
Yeah.
And, you know, good luck because, you know, I'm not going to eat it. And yeah, you know, Finland can really keep that one. Italian fennel sausage. Real easy to find. It does have a strong flavor. Mm-hmm. It does usually have the big fennel seeds.
Get stuck in your teeth.
We don't really like them. They do get stuck in your teeth. And you can get the mass-produced ones, you know, that are actually kind of nice that really don't sometimes have those big seeds. So those are actually very, very tasty. But what I like way, way better than that, the Italian fennel sausage or the sweet Italian sausage, it's kind of predictable. And so what I really like is breakfast sausage instead of a hot dog. So breakfast sausage, the one with no casing, your favorite's the Farmer John's.
Yeah, Farmer John's.
And it's a total American classic. You just stick that on a roll. You know, it's just cooked up. They're really good, but it's breakfast sausage. And normally people don't put that on a roll and have it as a hot dog. And then just beef hot dogs. If you want to do something really interesting with those, just really nice, tasty beef sausage, whatever your favorite one is, try it on a bun with something new, like with mango. Do it Hawaiian style. Another thing that they do in Hawaii is they put mayonnaise on it and a bunch of other fruits and types of things that you wouldn't normally expect to see on a hot dog in America, but they do it a lot in Hawaii, and they love them.
Yeah, grilled pineapples,
great.
Yeah,
it's great. Just fruit. You know, you can put fruit on fruit. What goes better than meat with fruit, than fruit, you know? And so you know, wrapping up the sausage conversation, because honestly, it is a really serious issue, is where to get a decent sausage in life. I think, you know, a lot of people wake up in the morning like we do, mm-hmm. and there's people like us. They wake up in the morning and they wonder, where can I get a good sausage today? Right? No? No. People are shaking their heads here.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm all out.
You're crazy. And on the subject of sausages, Marcus, you recently had a brand new baby boy.
Yes.
Tell me, are you having your new baby circumcised?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
All right. See, this is a very highly personal, very highly controversial decision. And it's sometimes it's a family thing.
Yeah.
You know, because like your dad, you know, did not.
Because in my line, Alexander is the first to not get circumcised.
Mm. Okay, so really, you know, you read an article online that says, why are you cutting your baby? And then you kind of went with it.
I just asked myself that question. Why would I take a knife to my infant? And I'm like,
Well, you're not doing it.
Well, no, of course I'm not doing it. No.
You leave the room so that you don't have to experience that horrifying thing. And honestly, I'm glad I had two girls. Because I never had to make that decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you do when you need a circumcision? You get a moil.
Well, they do it in the hospital. They have a little, like, cigar cutter, and they do it real quick.
Oh, that's awful. No wonder you decided not to do it.
Yeah, it's just scary.
It's a teeny tiny guillotine that, okay. Well, see, that's something I wanted to ask. And, you know, what better place to ask such a personal, invasive, embarrassing question than talking about your little baby boy's, you know, speckle. Sorry, folks, I skipped a crucial introduction here without further distraction. Let me just tell you. Mosquitoes refused to bite him purely out of respect. He once had an awkward moment just to see how it feels. He tips 100%, and presidents take his birthday off. He's Marcus, my co-host. Say hello to all the nice people, Marcus.
Hello, all you nice people.
Okay, that's enough. This is my show. You know, Marcus and I are good friends and colleagues, and we've worked together for a long time. And you know what they say. What do they say? Well, they say familiarity breeds, you know, well, contempt. But in our case, you know, well, let's move on. I may stab him with a pen from time to time, but it's done out of love, right?
Out of love.
Out of love, of course. Yeah. I know you've been holding your breath until now. How to avoid a hangover, and then, of course, get over the hangover that you've failed to avoid. We have a little drink guide for you, little what to do before and after the party guide. You're definitely going to want to get a pen. And to start off, before the party, you know, you're going to want to have something high fiber. You want to make sure you have some whole grain pasta with some veggies and some beans, something with fiber. What that does is it impedes the absorption of the alcohol, and you definitely want to avoid salt. Salt, excess salt, will contribute to a hangover. On the way to the party, you want to have a handful of raisins. And I know that sounds weird, but they're full of potassium, and that's an electrolyte that generally gets diminished by alcohol, and low levels of electrolytes contribute to hangovers. You know, you want to avoid the dark-colored drinks at the party, and while you're at the party, stay away from bourbon and brandy and beer and port and red wine. I know these are typically people's favorites, but you want to go with clear liquids. And
no
I'm
Irish
talking
car
about
bombs.
Yeah, no, what's that? Irish what now?
Car bombs.
Irish car bombs.
Whiskey
okay.
And Guinness.
Never had one, but it sounds like something you want to avoid generally. It sounds unpleasant, you know. And what's it called? The Flaming Banshee. Anything that sounds unpleasant in the name, avoid that. Stick with the clear stuff. That includes water. You want to stay hydrated. Next drink should be water. You want to stick with gin or vodka. Vodka's a good one.
Gin and juice.
It's the juice is makes it not, you know, not clear. And that's all the extra
juice.
Sugar. And then what happens is you get loaded up with all this extra sugar. And that just helps your body metabolize the alcohol faster. And it speeds the absorption. And so does the carbon dioxide in soda.
Mm.
So you know what? The clear stuff by itself, it's harsh. But that's the way you want to go. And, you know, if you drink, you know, mindfully, you'll be able to avoid the majority of the horrible feeling the next morning. And you might feel well enough to just get up and exercise, which I think would probably be recommended. A little bit of juice as a mixture, you know, really is fine. But, you know, and if you garnish your drink with a lemon slice, it actually does have an alkalinizing effect. so that that actually works with your stomach and works as a digestive aid. A few olives, you know, eat some of the garnishes, make sure you have something in your stomach. And then the next day, you know, you want to make sure that you skip the Gatorade. You know, go with the water, have some Alka-Seltzer when you wake up to stave off the nausea, and do have an Advil the next morning. Some foods that avoid hangovers are asparagus, again, clear liquids, asparagus helps your body break down alcohol. Some pastured eggs, they do have higher levels of the protein and the cysteine and the B vitamins and stuff that you really need to replenish your body and get rid of the toxins that you have after too much drinking. Bananas, very good. They restore potassium. Crackers and honey, really just the crackers. They're just there for the for the passage of the honey. Honey by itself is really harsh. You know, just, you know, especially if you have a hangover, like spoon after spoonful of honey. And it's just the crackers are just the vessel, the vehicle to get the honey into your system. And you need raw local honey. Don't go to the store and get that clear, beautiful, golden, liquidy stuff at the grocery store. It's all been heated. It's all been pasteurized. Heating honey destroys every good thing in the honey. There is no point in using it at that point unless just as a sweetener. But honey in raw form, so good for you. We'll do another segment on honey in the future. But for getting rid of the horrible after effects of a hangover, nothing's really better than eating raw honey.
What about hair of the dog?
You know, that's fine. That's fine, too, but not too much, obviously. Which brings me to the next tip.
Tomato juice
is extremely good for a hangover. It's got lots of vitamins, lots of minerals. It also hydrates very well. And the fructose also flushes out the remaining alcohol in your system. So you're obviously hair of the dog idea. Great. Mix that with the tomato juice. Just have a Bloody Mary and you're going to be okay. Quinoa also resupplies your diminished amino acids. And everything going on here with the on to the avoiding the hangovers. If you need to be giving yourself a hangover, do it smart. Do it once a year. The New Year's Eve is definitely an awesome time to go ahead and get yourself a hangover. And hopefully you did get a pen when I told you to get a pen, and you wrote all this stuff down. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about fondue. Fondue, you know, dangerous and totally unnecessary third-degree cheddar burn. So it's always fun to get over. And I'm going to tell you what you can do with that carrot. A veggie story coming up on Food Fight.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Eat in, take out, or delivery. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com. Limited delivery area.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
And welcome back to Food Fight, the only show where you can get into an actual fist fight over cream puffs. Now, and, you know, I've been getting a lot of requests for this topic of discussion. More great uses for watermelon rind. Okay, so nobody's actually been asking for this, but I think it's interesting and useful and prevents the mindless disposal of probably the best part of the watermelon. Very tasty, full of nutrition. And folks, if you do have a topic idea for the show, just go ahead and submit your ideas for these topics at whatareyouthinking@getyourownshow.com. Awesome uses for leftover watermelon rind. Marcus, feel free to chime in anytime here. And you may, of course, might want to get a pen. This stuff's going to be available on our website as well at some point in the future. You can chop up, and when you're done eating the watermelon, don't throw the rind away.
No, I pickle mine.
Yeah.
It comes out just like jelly beans.
And it's really, and that's useful. You know, useful stuff. Jelly beans, really?
Pickled, with the pickle flavor,
it tastes like jelly beans. It's pickle flavored jelly beans.
It's sugary. It's great.
Birdie Bott's every flavored jelly beans. Use them chopped up as almost a zucchini type of addition in soups and salad and salsa. They're very, very useful. Don't think of it as just a fruit. I mean, tomatoes are a fruit. We put those in everything. Chopped and tossed into a curry sauce. They're very good. They stay crunchy. That's the important thing. You can wrap up pieces with prosciutto or a sweet maple bacon.
That's
put
great,
toothpick
yeah.
as an appetizer. It tastes great. They're good pickled. And with jalapeno, if you put a little jalapeno in the pickle brine as well, slice them up and put them in sandwiches or in burgers in place of the pickles. Also tasty. In vodka marinated as a garnish. And we're not going to be doing a lot of talking about alcohol on this show, but because New Year's Eve is coming up and we just did have a segment on how to avoid a hangover, a little bit of extra stuff is fine. If you're making your own drinks, use some marinated watermelon rind as a garnish in your vodka drink, and they're very good. You can chop them up and add them to stir fries and the Red Hot watermelon rind milkshake. It's my own recipe.
Okay, I never heard of that before.
No, you never heard. It's my own recipe. I've never shared it with you. I'm keeping that one for myself. I don't tell you everything, Marcus. Boy, you can put it in a Red Hot's watermelon rind milkshake. It sounds weird, and I think that's why people would really want to try it. And what you do is you get a cup of fresh watermelon rind cubes, a quarter cup of Red Hot's, the little spicy candies, two scoops of vanilla ice cream, a half a cup of non-fat milk, and a cup of crushed ice. And then you just blend that into a milkshake. It's really awesome kind of flavor. You can't really place the watermelon rind. So yeah, people will, if you're giving this to people, they, you know, it's an interesting flavor. You know, what is that? And then you can make up stuff. You can call it a you know, cactus root, whatever. And nobody could really tell. But it is cinnamony. Mm-hmm. And the watermelon provides just a really light, almost not a citrusy, but very fresh, kind of a fresh green flavor. If you had to describe it as a color, it would be green.
Yeah. I use it, I chop it up, and I make my own like boba tea, but instead I use watermelon rinds because it's easier to make than cooking tapioca starch.
Right.
But you just throw it in your tea, it soaks up the flavor, and it has that nice crunch, just
awesome.
Like boba.
Yeah, very awesome. And I love boba.
Yeah.
And, you know, not a lot of people have actually even heard of boba. And what it is, it's Thai milk tea. It's a great tea. They put cream in it. And on the bottom of the cup are these round brown balls. They're just these boba balls. They're basically tapioca, except they're giant. And they're chewy. And they give you these drinks with these wide straws. So with each sip, you can suck up these boba tapioca balls, and they're really fantastic. You know, people out there, what is boba?
What is boba?
These people are foreigners because, you know, it's a new thing, and not a lot of people have tried it. But it's also called tapioca
tea. Tapioca, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're looking for it, it's boba tea, and sometimes it's called bubble tea, and it's also called tapioca tea. So anytime you pass a place that's called bubble tea or tapioca heaven, mm-hmm. you know that that's going to be a boba place, and you should definitely go in and try it if you never have. It's they're awesome.
It's an experience.
You accomplish two things at the same time. You get to eat and drink at the same time with one hand without looking, which is very efficient,
very
and
efficient.
You know how I love efficiency. You can use it as in a sherbet recipe. If you are a foodie who likes to cook and you make your own sherbets and stuff, you can use watermelon rind as a sherbet. It's not going to be the red sweet kind. It's going to be the citrusy, green, fresh, crunchy, you know, watermelon rind flavor, but in a nice mild sherbet. And the nice thing about a sherbet that's not oversweet is that you can serve it as a garnish on things that aren't so desserty. And that's really useful. Any medicinal effects that it has? I mean, like the ones in citrulline, which is known to trigger the creation of a chemical in the body that helps relax blood vessels. And this process is very similar to that of certain over-the-counter manliness prescriptions. I'm not going to mention them by name, but anyone listening at home, you know what I'm talking about. Not much in the pink flesh of the watermelon so much, but it's heavily concentrated in the rind. And it's an awful lot more natural. Of course, to get the full, really prescription-grade effect, you probably would have to eat like about 6 full cups of the watermelon flesh and rind combined, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not sure anyone's going to really do that, but that's definitely something. And it's an interesting tidbit. Moving on to the USS Midway New Year's Eve Gala, sponsoring a segment of our show this afternoon. And we are in the second hour going to be giving away 2 free tickets to this. And this is a $170 per ticket value, people. So you're definitely going to want to stay tuned into the second hour, no matter how much you want to change the channel. Don't, because it's going to be super awesome. Looking into this thing, if you go to the website, you can just go to the USS Midway. Just Google USS Midway New Year's Eve Gala, and it's on board the USS Midway Permanently Docked Museum, and it's going to be lovely. And unlike every other New Year's Eve party in town, these guys actually have food. It's being put on by a wonderful catering company, Pear Trees Catering. They're putting on a fabulous spread. There are going to be very elegant dinner stations. The black tie is optional. But obviously, you know, you want to dress up for New Year's Eve and you want to put on something really pretty. This is your excuse, because you're going to a nice place. You're going to be sitting down to a beautiful dinner. You're not going to be standing for hours in, you know, well, not you, Marcus, but no. I would be standing for hours in 4-inch stilettos and getting, you know, just sore feet, obviously. That's one of the reasons why you generally have to keep drinking. It's because, you know, you're in so much pain from not being able to find a place to sit, that you just have to just keep it coming, because it's the only thing that's going to numb your feet. Obviously, as a man, this isn't a problem for you.
Not at all.
But you are married, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that this is a problem frequently experienced on special occasions. You have to carry your shoes,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah, and it's and part of the problem is the shoes themselves. But, you know, as women, we do like the shoes. They do something for our posture, and they really push push certain areas of the buxom backside
exactly.
into a nice mm-hmm. sort of a shape. And they definitely do something for your posture and your self-confidence. And they make you straighten your back. And it's nice. So, you know, wear those, because you don't have to be standing. There are places to sit. It's going to be beautiful. I'm going to be there. My husband is going to be there. You can come there. You can meet us. There are still tickets available. Again, just go to the website. And we are going to be giving away 2 free tickets upon a trivia question call-in. So for all you brain cases out there, this is going to be super fun because I'm going to ask a trivia question and you better call in with the right answer. If you don't get the right answer, you don't get the tickets. I'm not going to tell you what the question is ahead of time, because you would cheat. I know that. I know you guys. You would look it up on Google, and then you would cheat. But it is black tie optional. Wear what's comfortable, but it's your one chance in the year to really pull out all the stops, you know, outfit-wise, black tie suit-wise, you know, put the little boutonniere thing in there. I know you don't generally do that,
no.
But, you know, go ahead and do that for the New Year's Eve. When we come back to Food Fight, we're going to be talking about recipes for leftover bottles of New Year's wine and champagne, and we're going to be talking about, I'll tell you what you can do with that carrot, a veggie story, all coming up on Food Fight.
Bad things coming to, but I never knew about the little...
When our kids started school, I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through 8th grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating
education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
For over 7 years, Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members, have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county. Specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and lumineers, Invisalign, teeth whitening, and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality, and provided in a caring, nurturing, and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majavar is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
And welcome back to Food Fight, the only show that will call out a restaurant for the intolerable stupidity that is leaving the shells on the shrimp. Those bony little insect-like exoskeletons, they're little alien parts. What's up with that? Let's expand. I hate it when they do that.
That's just a pain, just to try and peel them and eat them.
It's just those little feelers and fiddling antenna that you got to pull off and yank off with their little fiddling alien legs.
Whenever I do that, my daughter says, Daddy, why are you eating bugs?
Why are you eating bugs?
Why are you
exactly
eating bugs?
They look a lot less like bugs when the restaurant goes to the trouble of taking the shells off, right?
Yeah, it looks
this
nice.
This is a call out to arms for all restaurants. Stop doing that. I don't care that in an authentic Spanish paella, those shells have to be on, looks all cool, and you got the feelers sticking out of your plate when they put it on the table. It's annoying, and we don't want to do it anymore. We don't want to peel our own shrimp, and I will avoid ordering those shrimp dishes just so I don't have to peel the darn shrimp. Now, everyone that's out there, if you own a restaurant and you tend to do that, change it.
Just stop.
I'm not going to eat there. I'm not going to review your restaurant. I'm not going to be happy if you have shells on your shrimp. Okay, now that's just moving on here. You know, fondue, we were talking about fondue earlier, and, you know, there's a couple of different kinds, but there's whole restaurants that do appetizer, main course, and then dessert fondue.
Yeah,
and
I love them.
The appetizer is the cheese one. The main course one is the one where they have the broth or the hot oil, and you cook your own meats on a stick, which I love meats on a stick. And then the dessert is the chocolate fondue.
So
really you're just putting in multiple bowls of stuff in front of you for you to dip other things into. And it's a good thing they don't give them to you all at the same time, because I'd be dipping cheesecake into the hot oil, and I'd be dipping, you know, the pineapple into the cheese.
That sounds great.
For us that would actually be interesting, but that could be confusing for the average human being. And you know, I don't like fondue restaurants at all. You know, me personally, I know you love them.
I love cooking my own food. I love getting my portions. I love stealing other people's meat and cooking them.
Yes, and you do
veggies.
This for a living. So when you go out and you're going to pay someone, and fondue restaurants are very pricey typically at the end of the meal, because you're in for $40, $50, $60 if there's just two of you, and you're cooking your own food. How do you feel about that?
I love it. Me and the wifey love it. The chocolate at the end makes me happy.
But you can't take your kids, because they might stick their little fingers in something that's boiling.
Another reason why I love it.
Okay, because you can't take your kids.
It's just adult time, you know, with the kids. You don't have to relangle them, you know.
You can take the chocolate home and dip other stuff into it.
Exactly.
That's some fun chocolate.
Yeah, whatever's in your
fridge. I like the idea of it. You know, I just don't see the practicality of it as a three-course whole dinner from start to finish. I tend to leave kind of hungry, it's just, I find it to be dangerous, unnecessary.
It's not so much practical as just an event and fun. It's playing with your food on purpose, not, you know.
So here's a thought. Here's what you do. You go have real food at a real restaurant, and then you go to the fondue restaurant afterward for dessert.
We actually picked up that, and we do that often.
Yeah, and that's really what you want to do.
Because the chocolate's the best part.
If you're so lazy as to only go to one place, and you're going to have a three-course fondue meal, you know, awesome, more power to you. It's just not the way that I would like to do it. Moving on, I want to talk a little bit about one of our advertisers, one of our sponsors, Dine In Tonight. Is a fabulous company. I know we have commercials, and the commercials, you know, aren't very long. They're only like a minute long, and, you know, people don't really get, I think, understand really what it is that Dine In Tonight's going to do. So I kind of wanted to clarify because I'm in love with this service. And what it is you sign up, you become a subscriber, you become a regular customer, you sign up, you're on the list. And the reason that it's awesome is because all of the menu items are predetermined. You do not choose from a menu. If you go to the website and look at the online menu, you will see that on Monday, it's roast beef with Dijon sauce. You'll see that on Tuesday, it's, you know, a lemon chicken piccata. You'll see that on a Thursday, it's a meatloaf or a baby back rib or a roasted fish or some kind of a really awesome ethnic dish that's really done very authentically. But what you probably don't get that it's a preset thing. People don't have to decide what, you know, they want for dinner. Once they sign up and they're a customer, that dinner automatically comes. Whatever they're cooking, that's what you get.
Yeah.
The question about what's for dinner is no longer a question.
Now, someone got us a subscription because we just had a kit on the 1st of December, and it makes it so much easier just to have it delivered, and we don't think about it. The food comes to us. It's golden. It's wonderful service.
And they show up at about the same time every day.
Yeah.
It's $10 an entree. And there's no tips, there's no delivery fees, there's no nothing. It is cheaper than if you went to get the groceries and tried to cook the meal yourself. So it actually is a huge money savings for people who are customers. And it's just something that people should try at least once in their life. They're used to going to the store, picking out all the stuff, doing all the cleaning, doing all the cleanup. It is a huge, unrewarding time pitfall. I mean, it's a money pit, basically. If you're not a cook, why are you cooking? If you don't love to cook, why are you cooking? If it's not your passion and joy in life, why are you doing it? Why are you wasting hours of your day? Why are you wasting a ton of your money every month? I just don't understand it. I love the service. I think it's revolutionary, and I think it's fantastic, and I recommend that people sign up. At least check out the website. And signing up is easy. They do it on people do it online. Call in, have people sign you up right over the phone. It is truly a fantastic service that I think probably will revolutionize the industry of eating out, eating in. A lot of the times it'll replace restaurant food and fast food and a lot of takeout and delivery stuff. So
totally
it is also a huge benefit to your health as well, because everything that they do is all natural and with olive oil, no artificial anything. Everything is freshly made. Everything's fresh made in the kitchen every day, goes out hot, piping hot with the route drivers. And then it comes to your door within minutes to an hour, depending on where you are. Super fresh, super hot, super delicious. Really try it. Do yourself a favor. Give yourself some more free time, some more money, save some of your money. It's hard to make money. Save some of it and go spend it on something that really matters, like, you know, something that your wife really likes and has been hinting at and stares at for a while when you're walking around the mall and you're window shopping. She stops in front of a window. You don't know why. She's just staring at something really sparkly, but she's not saying anything. She's not window shopping. She's trying to connect with you telepathically to tell you to buy that thing. And
what if
you
that
know,
ever works?
Yeah, no, it doesn't work because, you know, men are kind of dense and, you know, obviously you're not mind readers.
Yeah.
You're not psychic.
We say that.
We think you should be.
Yeah.
We think you should be psychic because you know us so well. You should know what we're thinking all the time. And if you don't, because you're a bad person, you're a bad husband, Marcus.
So what do they call it when you keep on doing the same thing and hope for a different result?
Well, yeah, I think that, what was that?
On the top of me.
That's it. Crazy. Persistent.
Okay.
Yeah. Women are pretty crazy. You call it crazy. You see, when your wife does it, it's crazy. When a regular person does it, it's persistent, right?
No.
When a man does it, it's persistent.
Yes.
He's just hardworking. When a woman does it, she's crazy. This
exactly.
is why I have you in the show. You're a normal guy with, you know, like you pig-headed single-minded droop. Anyway.
Droop.
That's our word of the day, folks. Ding, ding. The food fight word of the day is droop. We're going to D-R-U-P-E. We're going to be talking about that later. We're going to do that every show. And moving on to our carrot recipes, I'll tell you what you can do with that carrot. Lots of interesting, cool things to do with carrots. People just think that, you know, you munch on them, they make good snacks, and occasionally people cook with them. They usually don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a really nice thing to do with a carrot is to turn it into a puree.
Oh, I love that. I love carrot ginger soup.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. You can puree it with more liquid and turn it into a soup. Or you can also add it to a potato puree to make a turnip and a turnip and make it like a carrot or potato or carrot and turnip puree. And, you know, with the normal mashed potato additions, you know, the butter, a little bit of cream, a little bit of honey mustard also goes a long way in there. But it's attractive. It's pretty. It's a very nice splashy color for your plate. It's full of vitamin A. You can put a hazelnut olive topping on there, just for an example, as like a little chopped up topping on there. Very, very tasty. And it's good for you. It's a nice way to have what feels like a sinful, hearty, starchy, carbohydrate-laden side dish. But it's not. It's just really good for you.
You can also shave them really thin,
mm-hmm.
throw them in the fryer. You have potato chips or carrot chips, long ways. You can even bake them on a parchment paper and get the same result without frying them.
Like a French fry.
Exactly. No, more like a long chip.
Oh, an actual chip.
Chip.
Like crunchy.
Yes.
And with vinegar and salt and all the...
Or whatever you like.
Oh, like British chips.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, very, very tasty. Yeah, instead of potato chips will kill you. North African spiced carrots, basically, that's just their roasted carrots, a couple of spice combinations you can put on there. Cumin, coriander, paprika, throw those things together, and it provides a really interesting, awesome North African spice that a lot of people don't generally think to use. Hot and sour carrots, use chilies and lime, mm-hmm. stuff like that, a little salt. I like to use fish sauce, you know, a lot in my own cooking, and it's an interesting flavor. Don't knock it until you've tried it. The best kind is the nam pla, the Vietnamese fish sauce, maybe because they use the naughty parts of the fish also, too, in there. I don't know what they're doing, but the fish sauce is better than the shrimp sauce.
Yeah, I like the three crab fish sauce.
Three crab? That's your favorite?
Yeah.
I like any cheap Vietnamese kind fish sauce. They're all of them are very, very similar, but they really do make great additions to a lot of recipes. Don't be shy to buy it. Don't be shy to try it. It is a lot of fun. What you can also do with carrots is you can cook them up and serve them with an arugula pesto. Just make a pesto out of arugula. You can get arugula in the salad section of
anywhere.
Any grocery store. It's a little bit peppery.
Yeah, a little peppery, a little nutty.
And so it makes a wonderful pesto.
Yeah.
Also, lots of olive oil. It's an excuse to get olive oil into your diet. Roasted carrots with cardamom. Put cardamom on those things. Make sure you put enough salt if you're going to be using cardamom because you want to make sure that counters. It's very good. Curried carrot soup, as you were talking about, Marcus. What's your favorite way to make a carrot soup?
Just cook carrots in stock until they're complete mush and then puree it.
Just
puree it.
You can throw whatever you want in there.
Yeah.
You can put your favorite spice combinations in there, and carrots do honestly go with almost anything.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, what you can do is instead of throwing away your leftover pickle brine, you put stuff in it. And one of the awesome things to put in it is carrot sticks.
Oh, that's true.
Throw a little bit of cayenne in there or a couple of jalapenos, let them soak. And a nice thing that you can do with those also is put them in a Bloody Mary. And I know we've talked about that a couple of times, but it is our New Year's Eve show. And we are celebrating a little bit here. I mean, here in the studio, there's a Bloody Mary right there. You know, I mean, why not? Why not? And so moving on, what we're going to be talking about is recipes for leftover alcohol. What we're going to just cover red wine real quick. What you can do with leftover red wine. It doesn't taste as good when it's been left out overnight and you forgot to cork it the night before because, let's face it, you just sort of collapsed in the middle of your living room floor. Red wine sauce.
Yeah.
And a red wine sauce is simply olive oil, some mushrooms, some leftover red wine, a little bit of chicken stock, a little bit of tomato puree, you know, crushed garlic clove. You can get that stuff pre-crushed, pre-minced, buy it in the grocery store. It saves a lot of the hassle. A little corn flour blended with cold water and a little bit of parsley sprig to throw on top as a garnish. Really all you want to do is you want to pre-cook the mushrooms to sweat out all the liquid and with the onions and everything. And after that, once that's done, throw in everything else. And just simmer it for a few minutes until it's thickened. 10, 15, 20 minutes. A lot of, you know, just whatever you think. When it looks good, tastes good. Throw in whatever else in there. You want a little salt, a little pepper. You want to make sure it's not bland. And then it makes a fantastic sauce, especially for meat.
Yeah, my meat red wine sauce is way simpler. I just cook the wine until it boils, turn off the heat, whisk in butter until it's nice and thick, a little salt and pepper, and I'm done.
And you're done. Exactly. It's very simple. You do not have to be a gourmet chef to make a good red wine sauce. And that's what this leftover stuff is really, really awesome for. When we come back, we're going to go over more recipes for leftover alcohol because, honestly, if you don't drink at all, you will have enough leftover awesome, stale sort of leftover alcohol to make sangria, your leftover champagne. You make all kinds of awesome stuff with that. And also, we're going to be covering ketchup versus catsup. How well do you really know your tomato-based condiments? On Food Fight, KCBQ.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinthenumber2night.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams from which it's born. Spend a little time in their design showroom and production facility in the Fashion Valley Mall. Learn about their risk-free custom work. See why personal service and the highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Mall for jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. And welcome back to Food Fight, everyone. The only show that speaks the utter truth about food and cows. And utter cows.
You said utter.
You know, I'd like a way to wear marshmallows. You know, they just smell so much better than they taste. You ever notice that? You open a bag, it smells all fantastic, and then you realize you have to actually eat one.
Yes.
You know, I just hang around sort of smelling the bag. I don't know. I'm probably the only person in the world that does this, but I actually just sort of hang around for a minute or so after opening the bag and smelling the marshmallows without ever actually eating them.
No, you're right. You're the only one that does that.
I'm the only one that does that. I knew it, and I knew you weren't going to back me up either.
No.
Yeah. Yes. This is why I have you on the show, because you're just fabulous to have around.
Fabulous.
Leftover red wine or white wine. Moving on back to our recipes for leftover alcohol, and those of you at home, you know, don't put away the notepad yet, because there's a lot of extra tips you're going to want to really write down. Sangria. And, you know, honestly, we're talking a lot about alcohol on this show. We're talking about cigarette cutters, cigar trimmers. We're talking about hangovers. We're talking about stuff that's not 100% kosher. If you disagree with anything I'm saying at all, please call me up. Get me on the air. Call me out on it. I'll tell you why you're 100% totally wrong and you don't know what you're talking about. I'll tell you how you're ignorant. That's 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Call me up on KCBQ and tell me how you disagree. You could be the one person who completely changes my outlook and changes my life. And no, not really. I'm just going to tell you how you're wrong. Moving on, sangria. You can make fantastic sangria with leftover red or white wine. As I know, Marcus, you have probably done.
Yes,
A lot of people really love sangria. it's an excuse to put fruit in your wine. Treat it like a punch.
Exactly.
You get to really treat your wine like a punch, and that just gives you kind of an excuse to drink like a lot more of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a bottle of red wine. You know, it doesn't matter what kind. Could be Cabernet Sauvignon, could be Merlot, could be Roja, could be Zinfandel, could be Shiraz. One large orange, one large lemon, you know, cut them up, some sugar, a shot of brandy, and a couple of cups of ginger ale or club soda. Throw it all together, mix it up. The longer it sits in there with any fruit you decide to throw in there, it is also really tasty. You throw in the sugar and the brandy, and then you just chill that overnight. The ginger ale is going to lose its fizz. That's fine because it's stale wine anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But you cannot tell when you taste it. It tastes really fresh. And the fruit on the bottom is, of course, I think a lot of people really like that too. Sangria, very, very delicious, and it impresses people. Not like, you know, serving someone just a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
It requires effort. You had to put these things together. You had to put the fruit in there. You had to take the time to chop the fruit, you know, cut your finger. It's a whole big thing. You put effort into it, and people appreciate the effort. So yeah, it does look like you made it.
And sangria is more festive. You're like, oh, wine. Oh, sangria.
Oh,
that's great.
Sangria.
Thank you.
Well, I will have
with my wine.
I will have another glass. Thank you very much. And then seven or eight. Leftover champagne. You can use leftover champagne for about a billion different things. But because we don't have all the time in the world, we're just going to go over a couple of them. You can infuse it with freshly peeled garlic cloves and use it as salad dressing.
Yeah.
You can poach fish in it. You can use that on top of a salad, like poached fish on a salad or like on an entree. You can steam greens in it.
You can use it to liven up any stock you're making.
Exactly. You can saute some scallops in the champagne and olive oil. Very tasty. You can cook quinoa with it. You can take a perfectly healthy, nutritious, complex, starchy carb like quinoa, and then you can garbage it up with champagne.
Simple carbs. There we go.
What's more fun than that? You can make jello with it. You can leave it out and make champagne vinegar.
There we go.
You can put some lemon juice and some soda water and ice, and it's a chiller. Carbonation or not, stale champagne makes a wonderful drink if you mix it with lemon juice, soda, and ice, and it's a chiller. Very good. Throw in minced garlic, put in a jar, and use it for cooking. You can put it into soup instead of some of the water. You can poach eggs in it.
My favorite.
I think poaching eggs in champagne is so utterly cool. So utterly cool that you could probably just, you know what? Get champagne and leave it out overnight just so you can poach eggs in it.
Yeah, see how it is. It's a lot of fun.
Fantastic. And also, red wine poached eggs are very pretty.
Yes.
And as long as the inside isn't overcooked, I mean, you cut it open and the beautiful yellow yolk streams out. Get it all over your salad and stuff on top of like a salmon medallion with, you know, on top of the salad with the poached red wine poached egg. Just absolutely delicious stuff. A lot of things, you know, you wouldn't even think of. If you like to make bread, replace the liquid in your bread recipe with the stale champagne. Or with pineapple juice, or with white wine, or with any kind of interesting liquid to make a bread. Take the water out, put other interesting liquids in.
Yeah, cupcakes or pancakes, when I was thinking of waffles, I do that a lot with.
Right, because they're for kids. And you want to find ways in life to give more champagne to your kids.
Of course.
Right, exactly. That's I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time thinking of ways I can get my kids drunk. Right? You just throw it into your scrambled eggs for a morning after breakfast. If you can eat.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that you can feel really good about eating because it's scrambled eggs made with leftover champagne. You're recycling. Don't feel bad about it. You're not contributing to your own bad habit. You're not an alcoholic. You are recycling.
And finishing what you started.
And that's good for your morale.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for being a good ethical person, you always want to finish what you start, right? And that will wrap up our leftover alcohol recipes segment. Next up, ketchup versus catsup. And, you know, a lot of people, they go to the ketchup section.
Yes.
Because it's like a whole section, right? There's like 90,000 different kinds of ketchup.
Yeah, now they're all infused, I think. Or a lot of them are.
Yeah, and I think they have like a truffle-infused ketchup and stuff like that. And I love those. Those are great. But there's ketchup and then there's catsup. And I'm pretty sure everyone at some point in their life has gone through that. It's not, you know, it's not the most pressing issue known to man today, but it is interesting. Ketchup was originally a Chinese condiment, which was called ketsiap, which was a pickled fish sauce. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all like today's ketchup. Exactly. And then what happened was sailors discovered it, took it west. And it's, you know, about the 17th century is when that happened. People have been using Chinese ketchup, I guess, the pickled soy sauce for like a really long time, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the English people get their hands on it, obviously, in 17th century. And then they start adding things to it. Like tomatoes, which is the most notable addition, obviously. And originally in the 19th century, it was called tomato soy. And, of course, the earlier versions of ketchup were a lot thinner. They had a consistency more like a soy or a Worcester sauce. Worcestershire, for those that are sober. And Worcester, for those that are making a Bloody Mary that are no longer sober.
There you
right?
go.
Worcester sauce.
Worcestershire.
And then, of course, the Heinz Company got their hands on it and started selling tomato ketchup in about 1876. And then, of course, it became the primary ketchup. And then they just dropped the tomato from the title, and then it was ketchup. Catsup, you know what? It's a variation on the spelling, but it's not a separate thing. No one created a product called catsup. No one had a bottled original recipe for catsup. It was just they called it something else, and it means exactly the same thing. And and ketchup, basically, it has to be made with vinegar, sugar, salt, onion, garlic. It also has spices in it, such as cinnamon or cloves or mace or allspice or nutmeg or ginger or cayenne. You can do a ketchup a lot of different ways. But originally, it actually was grated by grading standards where it had to flow 9 centimeters in 30 seconds to receive like a grade A rating. And then the standards were changed in 1991 so that grade A ketchup now only needs to ooze 3 to 7 centimeters in 30 seconds. So basically, in other words, ketchup is getting thicker over time. It used to be thinner. Now it's getting thicker because the slowness of the flowing
is changing. Who's responsible for grading that?
I'm not sure. And I really think that person had really a lot of time on his hands because it's an obscure fact and I just found it somewhere. And it's interesting to me because that seems to me like a giant waste of someone's time.
Someone
could have spent that time curing cancer. And instead, they decided, no, I'm not going to cure cancer. I'm not going to go to med school. I'm not going to learn how to operate on people's hearts. I am going to develop a grading system so that the speed at which a bottle of ketchup flows will have a very specific name and measurement, kind of like a Richter scale for ketchup slowness. And that's how I'm going to spend my 4 years of college. Parents, that's money well spent. Coming up on Food Fight, we're going to be going over our New Year's Eve trivia giveaway. Hope you have that phone number. It's 888-344-1170. We're going to be talking about why it's okay to eat your chia pet and bone marrow, a.k.a. God's butter. How to get it, how to eat it, and why you should. All coming up next on Food Fight, KCBQ 1170.
Every single day.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.